tell your soul to find rest in God alone, it is because you're aware of God's invitation to rest. We turn in the Gospel of Matthew to the last verses of the 11th chapter, and I invite you to keep your Bible open as we give attention this morning to this portion of God's Word. To focus our attention there, I want to read those verses with you. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God, and may He bless it in our hearing this morning. My beloved in the Lord Jesus, at the beginning of October, my wife Karen and I went to Tennessee. We attended the annual conference of the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation, and the topic for this year's conference was rest. And it was that conference and this topic of rest that prompted me to come home and work on a sermon on this passage of Holy Scripture. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 was a passage that was referenced numerous times during the conference, although I don't recall it ever being expounded upon. It was just kind of always there lingering in the background, whether projected on the screen or referenced by some speaker. And that's understandable that it kind of lingers in the background because it just so obviously speaks to the topic of rest. It's a familiar passage, I assume, to many of you. Maybe for some of you, it's a treasured passage in Holy Scripture. And one of the things I came away with from that conference was a desire to begin to scratch the surface of this passage, to see what I could gain in terms of wisdom and understanding on the topic of rest in the Bible. I'm going to share with you two related things from the conference and from this passage by way of introduction, and then we're going to jump into the text this morning. The first thing that I will share with you in terms of a takeaway is that rest is relational. Rest is relational. At the heart of rest is a relationship with God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why else do we tell our souls to find rest in God alone? So rest is relational, a relationship with God. Second of all, rest is not just ceasing to do what wearies the body or the soul. It is true that when you dive into the dictionary, if you will, of the words of the Bible, whether they be the Old Testament Hebrew or the New Testament Greek, then this word rest very literally means to cease or to stop. And yet rest is not achieved merely in the stopping of something. And I know personally that rest is not achieved merely in the stopping of something. I've gone on vacation and not rested. I've gone on a medical leave due to mental health, and I have not rested. I've gone on a sabbatical, which is defined as a period of rest, and not come fully to a place of rest. I stopped working, and yet I didn't fully enter into that thing called rest. What did I miss in those moments? And I'm going to guess that some of you have missed the same thing. What did I miss? What have you missed? That rest is not merely stopping. Rest is the goal of stopping. You need to understand that to experience rest is to be refreshed. The Bible, numerous times, links two words, rest and refreshment. In the English Standard Version of Exodus 31:17, as Moses reflects upon God and His rest in Genesis 2, Exodus 31 says, "And God rested and was refreshed." That's what the Lord Jesus is promising in our text of this morning. That as you live in a relationship with Him, you will experience the rest that refreshes. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. So this morning, as we look at this portion of God's Word, I've just simply titled the sermon, The Promise of Rest. Is there anything more appealing to the weary person than the prospect of rest? I know I've chatted with any number of my church members over the years and chat with them on Sundays, and they just tell me how much they appreciate their Sunday rest and how, as they're working during the week, the prospect of Sunday rest just appeals to them. They found that in their lives, the rhythm of work and rest is just fundamentally important to their well-being, their spiritual well-being, their emotional well-being, their physical well-being. Now I want you to imagine a life where there is no prospect of rest. I want you to imagine a life where there is no rhythm of work and rest. I want you to imagine a life, actually some of you may not have to imagine it. I want you to imagine a life that is just defined by work, 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 and the relentless demands of more work. Imagine a life where rest is elusive, where rest is seemingly something that you cannot find, you cannot grasp, you cannot get a hold of, you cannot experience. But in many ways, for the vast majority of people who are following Jesus around, that is their reality. They were always toiling at their work. They were constantly weighed down by heavy burdens, and there was no prospect of rest. If you asked them how they were doing, they would sound like a 21st century person. They would say, I am tired. I am tired. And then they hear this invitation of this man named Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you the very thing that you long for, that you look for, that is elusive, that you have not been able to experience. Come to me, and I will give it to you. It's an amazing promise. A promise that comes to all. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. The promise of rest is better than the prospect of rest, because the promise is a guarantee. I will give you rest. So why are all these people weary? That's the question, isn't it? Why are all these people weary? You say, well, because they're burdened. Well, why are they burdened? What is this load that they're continually carrying that leaves them completely worn out? We get a clue a little later on in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Chapter 24 is Jesus calling attention to the leaders of the church. The scribes, the Pharisees, those who sit in the seat of Moses, as he says. Matthew 23, not 24. Matthew 23. And as he's speaking about those who sit in the seat of Moses, he says in verse 4, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. They tie up heavy loads, heavy burdens, and they put them on the shoulders of the people of God. See, this is the crowd around Jesus in our text. They are laboring hard under the heavy burden that their religious leaders had placed upon them. And it's important when you hear Jesus addressing them. He says, come to me all who are weary and burdened. It's important for you to know that the word burdened, it's a verb that's in the passive tense. And I don't like to do grammar lessons, but every now and again they're significant as you're seeking to understand Scripture. An active verb is a verb tense that we use when you're doing something. A passive verb is a verb tense we use when someone is doing something to you. This one's in the passive. They're burdened by other people. They haven't taken these burdens on themselves. You know, others have tied up these loads and laid them on their shoulders. And there is this continual demand to work, 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 work on the part of the religious leaders. There's never a moment of rest. These scribes and these Pharisees never give God's people a moment of rest. These leaders gave their animals rest one day a week, but they couldn't have been bothered to give their people rest. Jesus observes in the next chapter that, you know, a man is more valuable than a sheep. But to these religious leaders, the sheep was more valuable than a man. It is into this reality that Jesus comes with his invitation to all who are weary, to all who are burdened, and he says, come to me and I will give you rest. So what does it mean to come to Jesus? It means to put your trust in him like a child, like a little child. It's noteworthy that just before our text, we hear Jesus offering a prayer, and that's why I began our reading at the prayer of Jesus. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. You have hidden these things. What are these things? These things are the good news of the kingdom of God, that in the Messiah who has come, the kingdom of God is growing and increasing, and it is pushing back against evil. At the beginning of chapter 11, you have John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples. They come to Jesus because they and John are not sure that Jesus is the Messiah. This despite the fact that John's job was to announce that Jesus was the Messiah. There are things going on that have led to question marks around whether Jesus is actually the Messiah. And the reason there's question marks is Jesus is not doing what John expected the Messiah to do. And Jesus says to John's disciples, you go back to John and you tell him what you see and you tell him what you hear. You tell him that the blind are receiving their sight. You tell him that the lepers are being cured. You tell them that the lame are walking. You tell them that the dead are being raised. And you tell them that the good news is being preached to the poor. That's the work of the Messiah. That's how the kingdom of God advances in this world. And then as Jesus concludes that little message to be brought back to John the Baptist, he says in Matthew 11, verse 6, and blessed is the person who does not fall away on account of me. And blessed is the person who isn't offended by that notion. And you have to understand that as Jesus is then praying in verse 25 and following, and thanking God for revealing these things to the little children, hiding them from the wise and learned. The wise and learned are the religious leaders. The wise and learned are the men who sit in the seat of Moses. It's these men who are offended by Jesus. It's these men who fall away on account of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's these men who, as we come to the end of our reading this morning in Matthew 12, plot to kill Jesus. And that's for one reason and one reason only. They weren't buying what Jesus was selling. I know Jesus wasn't selling anything, but they weren't buying into the way of life that Jesus was promoting, that Jesus was teaching. But there was other people, and they're the little children, who were coming to Jesus, and they were like, give us that stuff. We've had these people, and we're weary and burdened. There's something attractive about you. And Jesus says, yes, there is. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me. It's an invitation to be a little child. At the conference, it was opened by a man named Ed Welch, and his opening speech was entitled Faith, Humility, and the Way of a Child. And he reminded us that the only way to enter into true rest is as a humble child. It's what we see in our text. Come to me. Like little children. That is, come to me humble, come to me dependent, and I will give you rest. So what exactly is Jesus promising? What is this rest? As I said at the beginning, to rest quite literally means to stop. But in the Bible, we don't stop there. Rest is the goal of that stopping. To experience true rest, as I said earlier, is to be refreshed. And that is what Jesus has promised. You wouldn't be wrong to translate this passage and this promise as, I will give you refreshment. Come to me and I will refresh you. And the question is then, how is Jesus going to do this? This giving of rest, this giving of refreshment. Well, he's going to do it by ending their old way of living and providing them a new way of living. You see, to rest and to be refreshed, and I think sometimes we get this completely wrong, to rest and to be refreshed does not involve doing nothing. I think part of the reason you and I struggle to be refreshed when we've stopped doing something is because we've done nothing. To rest and be refreshed does not involve doing nothing. To rest and be refreshed is to stop doing one thing in order to do something different. To rest and be refreshed is to stop doing one thing in order to do something different. It's true of physical work. Okay. It's true of emotional weariness. It's true of our restless souls and what it means for them to find rest. It's not about doing nothing. And when you listen to Jesus, you discover very quickly that the rest he offers is not about doing nothing. Because what Jesus offers to all who come to him is a new way of living. One that does not involve toil that leaves you weary. One that does not involve heavy burdens. I want you to just listen again to Jesus, because he's not done. After this initial invitation in verse 28, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There it is again, the promise of rest. But I want you to notice the path to experiencing the rest. This is what Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's an activity. It's not inactivity. The rest for your souls that Jesus promises is not the result of inactivity. It is not the result of doing nothing. It is the result of taking Jesus' yoke upon yourself. Jesus does not say, take my lazy boy upon you and I will give you rest. Jesus does not say, I have a lounger for you on the beach in Cancun. Take that, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke. What's a yoke for? It's for working. It's an instrument. It's a thing that is part of work. It's a piece of wood that would sit upon people's shoulders in order to evenly distribute the weight of the thing they're carrying or the things they're carrying. Maybe you've seen the pictures. I don't know if any of you have ever worked with a yoke, but maybe you've seen the pictures. Piece of wood on the shoulders, evenly distributing the weight of the things you're carrying. It's a picture of work. You say, I don't want to work because I'm tired and I'm weary. And I'm coming to Jesus because he told me I would rest and he would give me rest. And I just want to do nothing. And now Jesus is saying, I need to take this work thing upon my shoulders. Yes, it's exactly what Jesus is saying. And it confirms what I've been trying to communicate to you, that to rest and to be refreshed is not merely to stop what you are doing. It's to stop what you are doing in order to do something different. Jesus takes off the yoke of the religious leaders and replaces it with his yoke. The weariness, and this is so fundamentally important in our text, the weariness of soul and body that Jesus is addressing in our text is a weariness that is a result of carrying the wrong yoke, wearing the wrong yoke. And as you come to Him in childlike trust, humble dependence, what He does is He lifts that horrible yoke off your shoulders and He gives you His yoke in its place. His yoke is a symbol of discipleship. The invitation of our text is fundamentally the same invitation that the first disciples heard at the beginning of the Gospels, which was, come and follow me. The word learn is instructive in this invitation of Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The word learn and the word disciple are the same thing. One's a verb, one's a noun, but they're the same thing. The yoke is symbolic of discipleship, of following Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is, I offer you a new way of living. As one of my followers, I will give you a different way to live. One that doesn't weary you. One that doesn't burden you. One that doesn't wear you out, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus is promising a way of living that is fundamentally different from the religious leaders of the day who tied up heavy burdens and laid them on the shoulders of God's people. It's why I read with you into chapter 12, and I believe Matthew, as he's structuring the gospel, intentionally puts chapter 12 right after this invitation of Jesus. Because in chapter 12, you get a glimpse into the character of the religious leaders of the day. They were men who knew nothing of mercy and nothing of kindness toward their fellow man. They would deny their fellow human being food because it is Sabbath. They would deny their fellow human being healing because it is Sabbath. These are men who did not realize that rest is relational. Relationship with God and relationship with your fellow human being. And what we see then in Jesus is someone who just stands in completely sharp contrast to these men. He knows everything of mercy and He knows everything of kindness. Take my yoke and learn from me. Why? He gives you the reason why. For I am gentle and humble or lowly in heart. You can judge the yoke of Jesus that He tells you to take. You can judge that yoke by His character. He is gentle, not harsh. He is humble, not proud. A little later in Matthew 12, Matthew will quote from Isaiah 42. And this is what he says about the Messiah. Verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. This is the character of your Savior. This is the character of the Lord Jesus. And given that this is His character, given that this is His heart and His heart for you, you don't need to worry about following Jesus. That somehow you will become worn down by Jesus and His demands. That somehow you will just wear out under the burden that Jesus places upon your shoulders. And to further calm your fears, because we have them, to further calm your fears and assure you that you will find rest for your souls, Jesus closes the text by saying, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A moment ago, I noted with you that there is still a yoke to bear. And now I'll observe with you that with Jesus, there's still a burden to carry. But they're of a different character. And they're of a different character because Jesus is of a different character. It is precisely because He is gentle in heart that His yoke is easy by comparison to that of the religious leaders. It is precisely because He is humble and lowly in heart that He can declare His burden light in comparison to that of the religious leaders. There is a kindness to the yoke of Jesus. There is a lightness to the burden of Jesus. And you may wonder, what is that? Why is that? And it's because Jesus doesn't ask you to carry them in your own strength. Jesus gives you His grace every day. Jesus gives you His Spirit. He pours out His Spirit into your heart to live with you and to remain with you forever, as we confess in the Catechism. And this invitation of Jesus is not a one-time invitation. It's a regular invitation, a daily invitation. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And yet, you might say to me this morning, but I'm a weary follower of Jesus. And I'm a burdened follower of Jesus. And I'll just pose a question. I won't make a statement. I'll just pose a question. Is it possible that you're trying to do this all on your own? Is it possible that you're not in daily relationship with He who gave you His yoke, He who promised you it was light and it was easy? I know it's true for myself, and when I realize that, when you realize that, there's a sense of a different kind of burden, isn't there? It's the burden of sin. It's the burden of shortcoming. The sense that, you know, maybe I haven't done a great job being a follower of Jesus. And then we face a new problem. I do, and I suspect many of you do. And that's we find ourselves afraid to return back to Him who says, I will give you rest. So often there's a part of us, and it's there for different reasons, including bad theology. So often there's a part of us that expects to find Jesus the way the people found their religious leaders. Namely, that we would find Jesus to be harsh with us, that we would find Jesus to be angry with us, that we would find Jesus to be unyielding toward us. Because we haven't been very good followers. But that's not the reality. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Even when you're burdened with your own sins, even when you're burdened with your own shortcomings, you will find Jesus as He is, and Jesus is gentle. And Jesus is humble. And Jesus is lowly in heart. And when you come to Him with your broken heart, you can be rest assured that you will experience from Him His grace that forgives and His grace that renews. And you can be sure of this because He carried His own burden for you. And His burden was the weight of your sins that pressed out of Him the, you know, that bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. On the cross, He bore the weight of your sins, your shortcomings. He who desires mercy and not sacrifice made a sacrifice that you might receive mercy. And He who has redeemed you by His precious blood also renews you by the power of His Holy Spirit poured out into your heart, into your life. We're going to close there this morning. I'm going to do that with a reference to the words that we're about to sing. And the words are familiar to many of you. These words, His Holy Spirit brings me consolation. He makes me willing now with dedication to do what? In hope, His yoke to bear. We bear Christ's yoke in the hope of entering into God's eternal rest. For when Christ comes in glory, the things that weary us and the things that burden us will forever cease. They will stop. The sin, the evil, the brokenness, the death, it will cease and even cease to exist. And the kingdom of God will come in all of its fullness, and we will be eternally refreshed as we do something different. Namely, enjoy the intimacy of living in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're able, please stand. We're going to sing that hymn, rhymed version of Lord's Day 1, hymn number 64.